Amen. I guess everyone knows as we look in Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 11. This is not in my notes here, but just speaking of Wednesday night, you know, we were not able to meet because the weathercaster was wrong. But let me say something about that. Had he been right and we met, you would regret it. Let me say those that are not Texans, are not, never, and I'm a native Texan, never trust Texas weather. It can change on a moment. Amen? Now, that's not my message. So are you right there in Hebrews chapter 5? Wonderful. Now, this morning, this is a two-parter, and this is the third warning, part one, okay? Before us, the five warnings that we're in the third warning this morning, but they are some of the strongest passages in the entire New Testament. And they frighten believers to death, if you will, those that are not taught the Word of God properly, okay? And I say that without any judgment. You know, we all need to be taught the Word of God, amen, and understand it. So as we look at this morning, we've arrived again at the third warning. It begins in verse 11, but it runs all the way through chapter 6 and ending, actually, we could say it ends in verse 20, okay? It's the sin, or rather the danger, if you will, of not progressing. In other words, I refuse to really grow up. I don't want to grow up. I want to stay right where I'm at. Now, we know that this was written to the Jewish believers. Amen? It tells us there, the reason we know that is because he calls them in chapter 3, verse 1. Pardon me, he calls them holy brethren. And then in chapter 6, verse 9, he calls them beloved. And that is only used of a believer, never of an unbeliever. So we know it was written to Jewish believers. They were struggling. The temple is still standing. They're new converts to Christ. They're under severe persecution. And there is a tendency, evidently, of them to turn back, perhaps because of the persecution or because of the Jews who have not, of course, turned to Christ. Influencing them that they have to return to Judaism because they don't have a great high priest. Where's he at? You know, we have a great high priest. We have the temple. We have the sacrifices and so forth. Now, with all of that being said, remember that Hebrews is meant or taught or given to us and to them, the first century believing Jews, to keep pressing on. Amen? To finish the race. It's not about losing your salvation. It's about not finishing and losing the rewards, the thing that God has for you. Now, we know that this is a letter of exhortation. The word exhortation in the Greek means to come alongside of someone and pick them up and encourage them. So this letter is not meant to discourage them. It's not meant to discourage us as well. Now, when we look at this third warning, part one. You know, one of the greatest moments in my life, I mean, I'm not talking about an incredible time. It changed my life, an event in my life. I faced my greatest adversary, my greatest foe, and I mastered it. I was 4 years old. And I'll never forget in my grandmother's house on the farm, my older sister, I had been trying to learn to tie my shoes. I'm 4 years, I couldn't do it. Of course, we didn't wear shoes a lot back then, in my defense. No, we actually played barefoot. Y'all even know about that? Yeah. And so I'll never forget when my older sister, and it's not Joanne, the one who raised me, it's the other Judy, and she said, "Billy, put your foot on the chair." And I put my foot on the chair, and she took my shoestrings, and she showed me how to tie my shoe, and I practiced right there. I kept trying, and she was so tender. And finally, when I did that, my whole world changed. I mean, I walked around, you know, like I was a brand new man, amen? No, I'm being serious. Listen, it would be a tragedy to be 35 years of age and still not able to tie your shoes, amen? Now listen very carefully. This word this morning is for each and every one of us and all believers. It would be the same tragedy to be born again, to be spirit-filled, to be in the church and not know the difference between milk and solid food, meaning never to really grow up in the Christian faith. Amen? So let's look, let's begin in verse 10 though. Chapter 5, verse 10. It says, talking about Jesus, our great high priest, called by God, and he was called according to the order of Melchizedek. It says, of whom we have much to say, oh, hard to explain, hard to interpret, in other words. And the reason is because you have become what? Dull of hearing. Now, of whom refers to our great high priest, Jesus Christ, in contrast with Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, if you will. Now, so the writer, he's saying, I've got so many things I want to tell you. I want to tell you about the deep things concerning the priesthood, the heavenly priesthood of Christ Jesus. He said, but I can't do it. And the reason I can't do it is because it's hard to explain because you can't receive it. In other words, you are dull of hearing. In other words, you have a hearing problem. That word dull means lazy, like in Hebrews 6:12, is really lazy. You have lazy ears or sluggish ears, or you're slow of mind. And I think one of the early fathers translated it stupid, but I'm not going to use that word, okay? Now, so slow to understand it, they didn't want to understand it. Now, before we pass judgment on the first century, believing Jews here, you know, we have to ask ourselves about our own hearing issues. Amen? Remember in Hebrews 3:7, today, the Holy Spirit, if you'll hear His voice right now, today, that urgency, our ears today, especially in the 21st century, our ears are open to so many wrong things. Come on, wrong things. I mean, there's the voice of the world, and sometimes we kind of lean into it and listen, or the voice of strangers, or the voice of unbelief, instead of the voice of the Good Shepherd, instead of the voice of the Word of God. Amen? Sometimes believers' ears really open when the gossip is good. Oh, that felt good, didn't it? Now, verse 11 should be a wake-up call to every believer in every generation. And I'll tell you why. If you'll notice this, spiritual dullness, loved one, is gradual. It's not instant. It happens over time. Look at that word. It says, have become, which means, number one, they were not always dull. It means they didn't start out dull. They became dull. In other words, they progressed in the Christian faith, and now they're regressing. They're going the wrong way. And listen, you know, there's always even a dullness toward God's word, a laziness towards God's word. We should never be lazy when it comes to the word of God. Amen? Yes. And so here we have to ask ourselves this morning, a good self-examination, all of us, are we progressing? Are we regressing? Boy, we don't want to ever regress. We want to move forward. Look at verse 12. He says, by this time, and he didn't tell us how much time, we don't know, but he says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. In other words, you must, you have a moral obligation. You should be teachers by now. But it says, but you need someone else to teach you, what's that next word? Again. Now, what does that mean? It means they have been well taught. So you need someone to teach you again. The first principles are the very beginning of the word all over again, the oracles of God. So, and you have come now to need milk and not solid food. So dullness stunted their spiritual growth. You know, Paul says, man, by this time, again, we don't know how much time, but it was enough time that you ought to be teachers. And you know something, listen, but they needed now to be retaught. You know, when I look at that word, I think about, you know, that now they need to be back on the milk again. And what, you know, if we put it in today's language, it'd be like this. Okay, here's what we need to do. We have to leave the chapel now, all of us, because we're little babies. And you know, we have to go to the nursing mom's room, or they're going to put us in the toddlers. And it says they're going to teach us the elementary truths all over again. In other words, the ABCs. That's what it means here by the elementary principles, or the first principles, and so forth. So we would need to go back to the nursery and have teachers read to us Bible stories with pictures. Amen? Yeah, come on. Because why? Well, we have to get back on the milk again, and so forth. And so what is true then, it is true today. And this is not just the pastor's responsibility to be, you ought to be teachers. No, it's every believer's responsibility, loved one. Listen, by this time is sad words. It's a sad word, and it's a terrible malady in the church today. Really, I mean, think, how many years have some of you, and I'm not beating you up or anything like that, but I mean, if you've been a Christian for 10 years, don't you think you ought to be able to teach your kids? Don't you think you ought to be able to teach your kid, children, teens? Yes. Don't you think you ought to be maybe having a share group? Don't you think you could lead other people to Christ or explain what the doctrines of the Bible, just the basic doctrines are? And that's what they're saying right here. But in context, and I'm going to say that a lot during our sermon, in context, again, the things that are hard to explain to the dull of hearing is the incredible high priestly work of Christ in the heavenlies. In other words, his high priesthood. And so here's a question I want to ask you and challenge you. Are you satisfied with what you know and what you believe with the high priesthood of Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you satisfied with what you know and believe about the incredible throne of grace? If you are satisfied, I can assure you that it is not the Holy Spirit who has satisfied you. He's the Spirit of truth, amen? He wants to take you into the deep things of God, the things that have been freely given unto us, amen? Now, with all that being said, they needed milk again because they weren't strong, they're weak, they were dull of hearing, they were not maturing, and so forth. But again, in the context now, and when we say the milk of the word, I want you to think this. It refers to what Jesus did on earth, the elementary things. Now, they're not elementary, they just use the ABCs. We just read that a moment ago. In other words, what Jesus did in his earthly ministry, what Jesus did in the Gospels, what Jesus has done, amen? See, it's so easy, when we start out in the Christian life, we learn about Jesus' walk, the miracles, and all that he did, and all that he was teaching, and we learn about the cross, and his death, and the burial, the resurrection, his ascension, and all of those things. That's milk. But we never, ever outgrow milk. We have to continue to grow on milk, because why? Jesus is not, he's not in the manger, he's not on the cross, he's not in the tomb, amen? It says in 1:3, it says, when he had by himself purged our sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So in context here, what the writer's telling the Jewish Christians and what he's telling us as well, that if solid food refers to what Jesus is doing now. And when we get over to chapter 7, he's digressed. He says, I can't take you into chapter 7 yet about Melchizedek and all of that and the contrast with Jesus and so forth. But solid food refers to what Jesus is doing right now in heaven for us, meaning his unfinished priestly ministry. Thank God he's there for us. Amen. We have a great high priest. He's the heir of all things. He's the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. Jesus is the expressed image of God, loved one. And listen, he is better than all things. He's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He's better than Moses. He's better than Joshua. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. Amen? He is better. And not only that, the Bible tells us that Jesus, our great high priest, who's up in heaven for us right now at the right hand of God on the throne of grace, that mercy seat, loved one, listen, he is able to save to the uttermost, it says. Uttermost, that means absolutely, completely to the end, to those who come to him through God. Amen? Oh, what? That's our great high priest, loved one. He's passed through the heavens. He feels everything that we feel. He's tasted death for it, and he's never going to leave us. And what do you think Jesus is doing right now? Right this minute. You ever think about that? Do you ever ask yourself, do you ever just search the scriptures, like in Hebrews, what is our Lord doing right now? Let me read what he's doing to you right now. Hebrews 13:20, ready? Now may the God of peace, who brought up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, here it comes, make you complete. That means to equip you for battle, like equipping of a ship, if you will, make you complete, finish what he started in you. It says, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom God be glory forever and ever. No one can do what Jesus can do. Amen. Now look at verse 13. For everyone, that means no exceptions, for everyone who partakes or only uses only of milk, in other words, an exclusive milk diet, is what? Unskilled. They're inexperienced. What are they inexperienced in? Well, in the word of righteousness. What does that mean? It means more than right living, loved one. It means, remember what it says earlier in Hebrews about that the word of God spoken about our salvation, we not to neglect so great a salvation, which was first spoken by our Lord. I think it's Hebrews 2:3. Man, listen, no, we don't want to neglect that. Listen, milk, let's continue, I'm sorry. It says of the word of righteousness, and it says, for he is a babe. He's a baby. Now listen, milk is good. Milk is vital for every believer. And at the new birth, all babies in Christ, newborns in Christ, they need milk. Amen? They have to have milk. And you know, you don't feed a newborn, if you have a newborn baby, you don't feed him T-bone steak, do you? No, they want milk. They desire milk. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, when you first come to the Lord, desire the pure, meaning the not contaminated, not watered down, the Word of God, the pure milk of the Word, and here's the reason, that you may grow by. There is absolutely no way for a Christian to grow apart from the Word of God. No matter how much he serves in the church or she serves in the church, it doesn't work that way, loved one. You know, the word of God, Romans 12:2? It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed from the inside out, transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Even Peter, his last letter that he wrote in 2 Peter, I think it's 3:18, he says, but grow. That means mature, keep growing in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus tell us? Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We know in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, the word of God is inspired. Amen? It's living. It's God breathed, if you will. And without it, we're not complete. We're not equipped for any of those things. So if you only use milk, the writer says, you know, and that's what the Jews were doing, the born-again people. He says, if you only use milk, man, you remained unskilled in righteousness. Meaning, in a person that is unskilled in righteousness, you know what they don't know? They don't know that they have been fully acquitted by Christ's death when they believe in him. Amen? They don't know those big words, justification or imputation. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That imputed righteousness, loved one, or sanctification, all of those things. Those are big words for a baby. Do you know that I never heard, I mean for years as a Christian, I never heard one sermon from the pulpit on the doctrine of justification. To me, is the greatest doctrine, one of the greatest doctrines in the New Testament. Amen? Where when you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, and God, he says from heaven, I pronounce you just as if you had never sinned. And the perfect, spotless, sinless account of Jesus is now transferred over into your account. Amen? Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, never, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So man, praise the Lord. We don't want to be unskilled in that. See, if you're a baby, I don't want to know about justification. I want a coloring book. You know, I want to color and do those things. But listen, there comes a time when you say, okay, milk is all right. But there comes a time in your life when you say, this is not enough. I have to add solid food to my milk diet. And if not, you will never mature. You know what I love about Calvary's? You see, people that come to Calvary Chapels, they want to know the Word of God. They want to grow. You know what I'm saying? They want to know what the Word of God means. I can't tell you over the years how many people have come to me and said, you know, from different churches, and I'm not beating up other churches, and they go, I never knew that's what that meant. I've never been taught line on line. I've never been taught through the books of the Bible. That is the way that you learn. And loved one, if you really want to learn the Bible, you know the best way to do it is start teaching. Start getting the kids' church. Do you understand? And start teaching. And I guarantee you will start learning the Word of God. So a baby or a babe is a believer who's not growing in the maturity. They're still, what does it say there? For he is a babe. And that word literally in the Greek, it means just a little baby that they can't form words yet. They can't put sentences together. They're still in their spiritual diapers. They're still on their spiritual bottle, if you will. And they're inexperienced. They can't digest sound doctrine because they have dullness of hearing. They have lazy ears, if you will. They don't want to move on. You know, they're unable to chew, if you will. You know, and they also have little discernment. Boy, that's a true word, meaning babes in Christ. Amen? Listen, I love, you've heard me talk about children. They come to my office, and I have different kids from all the church they come sometimes. And they know, those who have visited my office on a regular basis, they know that I have Tootsie Roll Pops, you know, in a little basket. And kids like Tootsie Roll Pops, you know what I'm saying? But I could wrap those Tootsie Roll Pops, you know, they got a wrapper on the top, remember? I could wrap that with $100 bill. And they would, you know, can I have one? Oh, so sure, go over and do that. And what would they do? They would unwrap that wrapper, that $100 bill, and what would they do with it? They throw it on the floor like they normally do. You know what I'm saying? No, and they eat that candy. Why would they do that? They're babes. They're children. They're not going, I'm going to discern this Tootsie Pop bill, put a $100 bill on it. Now, but if you're 35 years old and you come into my office and you take one of my Tootsie Rolls, that's not cute. Do you understand? When they do it, it's cute, but when it's not cute when older people do it. You don't have any discernment. No, it says in Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, here it comes, that we should no longer be children. We have to grow up. Children, it says, they're tossed to and fro, and they're carried with every wind of doctrine. Any doctrine, teaching, all that sounds good. That sounds so appealing. And it says, this doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, those are false teachers, by the way. They're never feeding the sheep. They are always fleecing the sheep. And they love immature believers because they can come out and everything they say is true. But then they add the lie slowly. That's what false teachers do. Now, every believer enters faith, Christianity, as a baby, and they're nourished on the pure milk of the Word so they can grow up. But to remain on milk, it's just not enough nourishment. Can you imagine that's all we're going to... I mean, let's look in the natural, not the supernatural. Can you imagine, what did you have for breakfast? Milk. Did you have a snack? Yeah. What was it? Milk. What did you have for lunch? Milk. How about dinner? Milk. Do you have anything? Milk. Would you get sick of milk? Now, I'm not saying that we'd ever get sick of the milk of the Word of God, but do you understand? And that's what the writer is saying. He says, it's not enough nourishment. You have to have solid food to be nourished and to grow up. You know, I wrote something down. It's over here. And listen very carefully. God's truth is to the mind what food is to the body. That is a true word, loved one. We need to be nourished. It says in 1 Timothy 4:6, nourished in the words of the faith and of good, or that healthy, sound doctrine. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:1, when Paul, the church at Corinth, they were so messed up. And it says in 3:1 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, brethren, I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but as to carnal. He says, as to babes in Christ. In other words, they're saved, but they're carnal. And he says, I can't talk to you guys. You're not led by the Spirit. You're not into the solid food of God's word. You're like carnal people. You're living like you're not even saved. And the reason? Because they were on an exclusive milk diet, because that's what Paul just said. He says, and he continues, said, well, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now, you're not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. And he tells us why. For you are still carnal. You're still babes in Christ. You're still on an exclusive milk diet. You don't want to grow in the Word of God. You're arguing with one another, suing one another, all those things, loved one. Listen, when Paul penned this, that church in Corinth was 5 years old. And instead of that church changing the culture had changed them to live like the lost. But we all start out that way, amen, on milk. But listen, if we've been, I mean, like 5 years old, if we've been in the Lord for 5 years and we're still carnal, man, we're not growing. See, to remain on milk means this: you are not feeding yourself. You have to be fed. Do you feed babies? Believe me, if you don't, they'll let you know. Amen? So it means that you're not feeding yourself. What does it mean? It means that your pastor is a spiritual milk bottle, okay? And he is feeding you all the time, every time you show up from the pulpit. Now listen, why were these Jewish believers in need of milk again? Because they were at a standstill. They refused to grow up. They said, no, this is it. They were dull of hearing. And you know, the thing about babes, okay? And I was a baby once, and I'm not saying I'm over the top mature, you know, but I can tell you this, babes enjoy milk sermons. You know what I mean? They enjoy baby sermons. They like those longhorn sermons. Remember, you know, I told you what a longhorn sermon was. You know, 2 points with a lot of bull in the middle. You know what I mean? You know? No, they don't like to be taught line on line. I remember the first time at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, when Rebecca and I heard line on line teaching. I looked at her, I said, what is this? If you traveled in Pentecostal circles and so forth, you heard preaching and preaching and preaching. Does that make sense? And I'd never heard that. I was blown away. I loved it. But anyway, if you're a baby, like today, a lot of people, they just want feel-good sermons. They want a little chocolate on top, a little whipped cream, you know, rub it all in, let me have that. And, you know, you've heard everybody, don't give me that doctrine. I don't want doctrine. Isn't it amazing that you hear believers say that? Oh, they just teach doctrine. But the Bible commands us to teach doctrine. You know what I'm saying? And so it just blows me away. I read a story the other day. Let me read it to you about a new Christian. And this girl, she was reading through the Gospels. And it says, after she finished, she told a friend that she wanted to read a book on church history. And her friend asked, well, why? And the woman replied, well, I'm curious. I've been wondering when Christians started to become so unlike Christ. Oh, that'll hit you, won't it? Yeah, listen, what does the Bible tell us in 1 John 2:6? If we say that we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he's walked. Amen? Yeah, loved one, listen, remember what happened when Peter and John, when they were there at the temple and they were preaching the word of God with boldness? And remember what the religious leaders said in Acts 4:13? They said this, and when they saw, the religious leaders, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were uneducated, untrained men, and they marveled. In other words, they were untrained in rabbinical theology, if you will. And it says, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Boy, that's the difference, isn't it? You see, oh, loved one, we need to walk just like he walked. So babes, what do? They like milk, and they refuse to grow up. And that means, in a way, if they have lazy ears, amen? It also means they're lazy. Now, but if you're mature, if you want to grow mature, you have to eat that solid food, and that means you have to work. That's what it means. You're not a lazy person. Look at verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. In other words, those who are going on and maturing. That is, those who by reason of use, habitual, ongoing use, over and over and over, by reason of use, have their senses, their mental faculties, if you will, exercise to discern both good and evil. The word exercise in the Greek, we get that our word gymnastics or a gym, okay? So he's saying, you got to work. Listen, solid food, remember in context, is about the heavenly ministry of our great high priest, amen? About learning about that. Do you know where to find Jesus? Yes. The Bible, Hebrews 4:16, we can go to the throne of grace. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we set our minds on things above, not things below. We set our minds on things above where Christ is, amen? We know those things. Now listen, solid food, it says, belongs to those who are full grown. They want to grow up. What does that mean? It means those who by reason of use, they are workers, they are training themselves, they are maturing, they're exercising, going through the Word of God. It says in 1 Timothy 4:7, exercise yourself toward godliness. Do you know that no physical exercise on earth can make you spiritually mature? Physical exercise. It has to be spiritual exercises. Amen? If we eat earthly food, we're not going to grow. We have to eat spiritual food, don't we? And which is the Word of God. And you know that spiritual maturity, is it automatic? No. There's no shortcuts or formulas. It takes work. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent. Make every effort, if you will, to present yourself approved to God. Here it comes. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth, meaning the Bible. Now, what would bring shame from that scripture? Well, it would be not handling the word of God accurately. Amen? See, we need to learn. We need to work and so forth. Again, to rightly divide the word of God, to learn the word of God, it takes diligent study. It just doesn't just happen. Listen, pastors just don't get up into the pulpit and say, well, let's see what God has for us today. Do you understand? Oh, that's rough, because that's about a five-minute service, huh? No, it takes diligent work and so forth. So listen, to be skillful in the Word of God, you have to take time in the Word of God. Amen? You spend time in it. To know what you believe is one thing, but loved one, listen, you cannot practice what you don't know. You have to know that. Now, I wrote this down. Listen very carefully. I said this, and I say this tenderly. You are in trouble if Pastor Bill is your main source of food, no matter how good or bad his sound teaching is. Did you hear what I just said? Listen, no. You need to be a Berean. Remember when Paul and Silas in Acts 17:10, when they went to Berea, listen to what it says, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded or had a better attitude than those in Thessalonica. Here it comes. In that they received the word with all readiness. Man, they were eager to learn. They wanted it. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. In other words, what they were just taught. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks and prominent women as well as men. So many were saved. Now listen carefully. That verse just taught us something. They received the word, then they researched the word, and then they responded to the word. Amen? Boy, that's what we need to do as well. It didn't say, ooh, look, the famous Apostle Paul, the one who was led to Jesus on the Damascus Road by Christ himself. Oh, we don't need to check this guy out. Well, they didn't say that. I mean, if Paul the Apostle showed up right now and talked, would you say, I better check him out? They did. They checked out the greatest apostle that ever lived, loved one. Listen, and that's what we have to do. Listen, I pray you do the same. On every sermon that you hear me teach, check it out. Check it. All the scriptures are on your app that I'm giving you right now. Listen, but check me out. Am I teaching you the truth? I always teach to the best of the ability that God has given me. But you need to always check me out. So what provoked them and stirred them up? It was whether these things be so. They wanted to know the truth of God's word. You know, listen, open your Bibles. You know, everybody, you know, I'm not going to go there. I have a sermon coming, but I'm not going to get into that one. Listen, open your Bibles. Don't just expect what others teach. Check it out for yourself. And how do you do that? You go first to the Bible. Go search the scriptures. In other words, learn to study. Search the scriptures. Don't grab a commentary. Don't do that. You go and search, go through the Word of God and say, I'm going to find every scripture I can about this issue. Does that make sense? Don't go to your favorite Bible teacher. Well, I'm going to go see what maybe Pastor Chuck used to say about that. That's okay after you do your own homework. See, because you're not going to learn, you're not going to grow in maturity if you go and I will see what he says or they say. No, what do you let the Holy Spirit show you? And that's how you grow in the Word of God. You have a marriage issue, why would you just go to the bookstore when you have the greatest manual on marriage in the world? Go and look and see what it says. Listen, Jesus said about the Bible, the Word of God, he said, John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now listen, the study of God's word requires work. That means we cannot be lazy. Watch it now, look at it again. Solid food belongs to those who are full age, those who are going on and growing up. That is, those who by reason of use, in other words, that practice, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now listen, God's practices are not designed all the time to make you have joy. They're to give you victory, amen? The Word of God. So it says by reason of use. That is a great word. In other words, practice. Read the Bible. Get it into your heart. To use God's word, it gives you discernment. Let me give you a perfect example of what I'm saying here. If I don't know if any of you attended the Halton Christian School spring performance the other night. It was incredible. Now, all week long, do you understand? For 2 weeks, I guess, or even longer. I don't know. They practiced over there. But I mean, my office, I could hear them every day. Practice. And they practiced. They worked. But what was glorious is when I watched it online. When I saw it, I nearly started crying. It was almost perfect. Do you understand? The things they did, the way why? They practiced and they practiced. And all the teachers that helped them, it was glorious. You should have seen those shirts that whoever made them, man, they had little stars. They glowed in the dark, you know. How am I going to get me one of those? Yeah. It's wonderful. So discern. It takes practice. The word discern means to judge or distinguish between something, okay? So just because you possess information from God's word, that doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. It's the information you possess and that you use makes you mature, amen? Now, with all of that being said here, solid food belongs to those who exercise their senses to discern both good and evil by an ongoing solid diet of God's word. Jesus said about discernment in Luke 12:54. He said this, speaking to the multitudes, he says, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, hey, there's going to be hot weather. And there is. And then he goes, hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it? That's a good word. How is it that you do not discern this time? Now listen, Those guys back then, they could predict, yep, the wind's coming out of the south. Well, they knew exactly because they could discern it from experience. Amen? They knew that a storm was coming, but they didn't know the coming judgment was coming. 40 years later, after Christ was crucified, actually 37 years, Jerusalem was destroyed. They couldn't discern even the person before them. They were face to face with God, and they missed it. Listen, it's a horrible thing to be blind to what God is doing. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. So the Jews, they could discern the weather. But you know what? My grandmother could discern the weather. You know, we lived on the farm. She was an old farmer. She came from Tennessee on a covered wagon, man. Listen, she knew the land. She knew, she could smell the rain. Do you follow what I'm saying? We can't. We have to have a weather app. You know, we have to have an app for everything. We can't even drive anymore. We don't even know directions anymore. We let somebody tell us how to turn here, turn right. Come on. We don't know what to do, so we ask Siri. Or we go to Google. That's sad. And no, listen. No, the Bible tells us about discernment. In Ecclesiastes 8:5, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, when to do a thing and when not to do a thing and how to do a thing. It says, because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. Why does it increase greatly? Because they don't discern time and judgment. Remember in 1 Chronicles, I believe it is, about the sons of Issachar, the of the tribe of David. They were the fewest number. But it says, man, he says, they had an understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel had to do, what they must do. So discernment. The church today, we are paying a terrible price for spiritual immaturity. And the reason is that those that are immature, they're so easily deceived. You see, what are we to discern here? Well, we're to discern doctrine, good and evil. In other words, is it true or is it false? A baby, if you'll notice babies playing, will they put anything in their mouth? Unbelievable. But see, an immature believer, they'll put anything in their ears, meaning they'll listen. And they say, oh man, this is great. But they don't know God's word yet. They're still on the milk. They're not able to discern truth from lies. So the Christian, we must have discernment today. Why? Because we live today more than any other time in our history. We live in a culture that doesn't have any discernment. We're living in an age right now of post-truth. Do you understand? Post-truth. Our culture no longer knows what's right. They don't know what's wrong. They don't know what is true. They don't know what's false. They don't know what's good. They don't know what's evil. They don't have a clue. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Then it says in chapter 6, I want you to just go there with me, even though we'll pick this up the next time in part 2. But look what he tells them to do. This is very important. Therefore, leaving, now let me explain something. The word leaving doesn't mean to cease to believe. Leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. That doesn't mean to cease believing in the milk of the word, amen? Meaning the high priestly calling of Christ. It says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. See, the foundation has already been laid. And now he's saying you've got to build on the milk of the word. You know it now, but now you have to get into the solid food. Does that make sense? So he says, and let us go on to perfection or maturity. So the word therefore returns us again to the solid food of the milk and so forth. The milk, again, is what Christ has done. His earthly ministry, the gospels, if you will. Solid food is what Christ is doing, his heavenly priesthood. So in context now, what he's saying is this, that the Jewish believers then and us today, we need to move forward now and really know and learn what Jesus is doing today from his word. Does that make sense? And from the Spirit of God. Let me give you the Williams translation of Hebrews 6:1. So then let us once and for all quit the elementary teaching about Jesus, not leave it, but quit, and continue pressing toward maturity. Listen, we need to grow up, amen? And that's exactly what was happening for us, all of them. Listen, there is no safety in any other place except in growing up. Did you know that? If you're not growing up, you've stopped growing. And it's not automatic. Listen, my body is automatic. I grow up. I didn't stay a baby. But you'll stay a spiritual baby unless you say, you know what, I'm going to get into the solid meat of the Word of God. The refusal to grow up. Man, to remain in Christian 101, that is a sad thing. Man, you know what? Babes, every generation, every church generation, they face that issue and so forth. You know, I know that I talk with Christians and they're, man, I am so turned on about the end times and the rapture and the Antichrist, the great tribulation. And you know, and there's nothing, that's good. That's good. But let me ask you a question. Are you turned on? Does prayer excite you? You see what I'm getting at? Does coming to church excite you? Do you, exploring the throne of grace? Think about that. Exploring, spending time at the throne of grace. Does that excite you? Because it's real. I mean, to come before the Lord who is right there, who cares, who loves us, who died for us. Oh, how about his high priesthood? We need to be excited about just growing up. And I'll tell you, it's time right now to find out what Jesus is doing in the world that we live in today. We know the Gospels. We know what Jesus has done. But loved one, we are now to pass through the heavenlies and find our Lord in prayer at the throne of grace. And what does Jesus tell us to do? He says, let us come boldly. He wants you to come. He is waiting for us to come right now. Now, that doesn't sound much like a warning, does it? But it is a warning. We have to move forward. We have to move into maturity. That means if we're not, we're resisting the Holy Spirit, right? He's working in you to bring you into Christ-likeness and to take you from glory to glory to glory. But we're going to move into that next time. This was just the introduction. And then next time, when we move into chapter 6, few people ever preach it from the pulpit. Matter of fact, one of the great expositors that ever lived, which I have his entire library, G. Morgan Campbell, great man of God. If you look through my library, you'll find when it comes to in Hebrews, every chapter. But when we get to chapter 6, he omitted it. Why? Because it is there's 16 different interpretations. 16. Now listen, Campbell, I know it's time to go. Let me just finish though. Campbell, do you know how smart this man was? He would read his text 100 times before he ever took a pencil and paper and wrote down his thoughts. 100 times. Yet when it came to what we're going to cover next Sunday, he did not comment on it. You know, I don't know if you know if you know the Lord or not, those listening live, maybe someone here this morning, but do you know Jesus? If you don't, I want to tell you something. You have an appointment with him that cannot be changed. You can't change it. It's out of your power. You can't change the appointment that you have with him. The Bible says in Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. Are you prepared for that? If you don't know Christ, you're not prepared for that at all. So Father, as we just come to you right now, as our heads are bowed, Lord, I don't know if there's anyone here this morning. You know their hearts. It's not what I've said that touches them. Lord, it's your word and the power of God, the living Holy Spirit that touches them. But if there's anyone here, Lord, if Jesus is not their Lord, would you just listen as our heads are bowed? You can come to Christ right now, right this minute. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to forgive you of all of your sins because he paid for them. All you have to do is just, you don't get out of your chair, just right where you are between you and God. Just lift your hand high and put it right back down, and I'll know that you want me to pray for you. Anyone this morning, say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be my Lord, my Savior. Well, Father, I assume that we're all believers this morning, and if that's true, I give you praise. But Lord, if someone online, if you don't know Christ, then you pray. Just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Save me right now, and he will. Father, thank you for this word this morning. And all of us, we never stop growing up, Lord, never. We must continue to do so. And Lord, help us to do that with excitement, the adventure of following Jesus. There is nothing better than that, Lord. We give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? If you need prayer this morning, we're going to close with a song. There'll be people down here to pray with you. If you're a first-time visitor over in the Welcome Center, they have a free gift for you, and they'd love to meet you as well. Let's sing to the Lord, shall we? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus.
God is so good.
God is so good. He's so good to me. And I love him so. I love him so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I love him so.
He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.